All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. To everyone. Today's daf Samech Zayin. We're going to start in the last three words of Samech Vav Amud Beis. Amud Avuna. All right, Amud Avuna. We're gonna continue still with some of these recitations that were done for refuah purposes. You know, we're not gonna have time to do it today, but I think at some point in time, I just want to at least give you the Maramakum. There's a very important marsha, and the marsha brings down. It's a marsha in Chiddushi Agadi. So the marsha Rav Shmuel Idel. I think I've mentioned to you before. His last name wasn't Idel. I don't know what his real last name was. But it was an outstanding, obviously, brilliant Talmud Chacham. And when he got married, his father-in-law was very wealthy. So his father-in-law had agreed to support him in learning. So it's told that his father-in-law died. And he understood that now it's time to go to work. His mother-in-law was so committed to his learning that she refused to let him go to work. She told him he has to sit and learn because she saw with him incredible potential. And she undertook the support of the family. He had such hakaras hatov to his mother-in-law that he took on her last name. Idel's was his wife's family name. And out of hakaras hatov that he felt to his wife's family for supporting his learning, he took on their name. So the Marasha has two parts to his commentary. It's Chidushi Halachos, Chidushi Agadus. As you can imagine, Chidushi Halachos is his commentary on Halacha. Chidushi Agadus is his commentary on the Agadata. So I'm just pointing it out to you. I think we'll have to find the time, maybe over Chanukah, to do it because it's very important. But in his Chidushi Agadus, you can tell the difference is the Chidushi Agadus is smaller print, Chidushi Halachos is larger print, and the Afsanach Zayin Amud Aleph, he discusses, like, what is going on with all of this stuff. The truth is, it doesn't seem Jewish, any of this stuff. There's these recitations, and they say this, and they do that. So the Marasha's premise, which I'm not going to do it justice, but it's just to whet your appetite a little bit, is he says that all of these things are predicated on the notion that physical sickness is a manifestation of spiritual illness. So once you have that connection, then the notion of healing oneself through spiritual means, through different recitations, through different psukim, suddenly again becomes really attacking physical sickness through spiritual healing. The Marasha goes into much greater depth, and I'm telling you that, but the point is, he struggles to try to figure out how exactly these particular types of healings fit in line with normative Judaic thinking and practice, and he puts forward a very cogent argument. Alright, so if we have time, maybe we'll look at it today. If not, you look at it on your own. If not, we'll find the time to do it together. Alright, so La'ashasa Tilsa. Sir Funikov's login says the following. What happens if you have an Ishta Tilsa, a fever that comes and goes every 3 days? Rashi says, Sheba'a mi gimel yom le gimel yom. Comes and goes every 3 days. Salaisi shiva sikliyay mi shiva dikli. So what you should do is you should take 7 branches from 7 palm trees. V'shevet sivi mi shiva kshuri. And 7 splinters of wood from 7 beams. V'shiva sichi mi shiva gishuri. And 7 pegs from 7 bridges. You should probably take them from bridges that are not being regularly used. 7 pegs from 7 bridges. V'sheva ketimi misheva. That was a joke. Okay. Tough crowd today. All right. V'sheva ketimi misheva tenuri. And 7 piles of ash from 7 different ovens. V'sheva afri misheva sinri. And 7 we'll call it pieces or collections of dirt from 7 different doorways. V'sheva kufri misheva arvi. And 7 samples of tar or pitch from 7 boats. Remember, they would coat the outside of boats with tar with pitch to make it leak proof. V'shiva buni kamuni, and 7 kernels of cumin. V'sheva bini midikna de kalba saba, and take 7 hairs from the beard of an old dog, with caution. Ulitzayrinu bechalola de beit savara. And you should tie all of these things together by the opening of your shirt. Benira barka, with a strand of hair. Okay, so this is the remedy. And again, I was going to point out, we're not going to do it today. But the Marasha points out how each of these things is related to some type of spiritual tone. It's not just some kind of hocus pocus. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, La'ashasa tzimirta, lishta tzimirta. Now Rashi points out over here, Ishta Tzemirt is holy, Shemichamemes Vikodechas Esaguf, a burning fever that literally makes the whole body hot. Lishkol Sakina de Kulaparzlo. Take a knife that is made fully out of iron. V'lezel heichad de'ika vardino. And go to a place where there's a vardina. Now, interestingly enough, vardina we normally translate as would be a rose bush. But the truth is, Rashi translates it over here as sne, which is a thorn bush, which, okay, is not so far off. Roses grow on thorn bushes, okay? So take a knife to go through a thorn bush. Veliktar be nira barko. And go ahead, and also here, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, lichrok kimo de nivla chirkaihu de ilu trefo. Sorry, it's not very helpful. Right? So what are you going to do? You're going to come to this thorn bush. And what are you going to do? Yomakama, on the first day, lichrok be purta. Make a little bit of a notch. Cut a little bit on the thorn bush. Velem, and say the following pasuk. Vayar Malach Hashem Elav. Now, interestingly enough, the psukim that you're quoting over here are the psukim from Moshe Rabbeinu by the Sneh. So go ahead and quote the following pasuk. On first day, you come and you recite the following pasuk. Vayar Malach Hashem Elav. The Malach of Hashem appeared to Moshe. Lemachar, the next day, Lichrok Bei Purta. May I make another notch in the thorn bush? Vilema. Vayomer Moshe. Asurana Ve'era. Moshe said, I'll turn aside and I'll see what's happening. Lemachar lichrok beipurta. The next day, come back, make another notch. Vilema. Vayar Hashem kisar liros. Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu veered off his way to see. Now, both say, remember, the psukim over here are very metaphorical. So the Gemara is understanding that in the pasuk of Vayar Hashem kisar liros, that just as Moshe veered off his path to see the Shechina by the Sneh, so too what I'm saying is it's almost like a supplicatory prayer, so too this fever should remove itself from me as well. I don't understand, if you're already using this imagery, why don't you use a stronger pasuk? Velema, al tikrav halom. Why don't you use this pasuk, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu what? Don't come any closer. Wouldn't that even be a better pasuk? Why? Because what would you be saying? You'd be saying to the fever, don't come any closer, right? To get away. Elo, so the Gemara says, you're right. Let's rephrase the Gemara. Elo, liyoma kama, on the first day when you come to the thorn bush, leima vayar malach Hashem elof. Okay. What? Alright. The pasuk. I didn't understand what you were talking about. Okay, I understand. El yom ha'kama. Thank you. Vayera malach Hashem elav. I apologize. I didn't have enough coffee yet today. Now I'm ready for corrections. All right, good. Vayera. I'm sorry.
It's not
going to
be enough coffee.
All right. Vayera. Thank you. Vayera malach Hashem elav. Vayomer Moshe. Ulamachar leima. Ulamachar leima. And on the next day, you should go ahead and say the following. Vayar Hashem kisar liros. Ulamachar, on the third day when you come back, Vayomer Hashem al tikrav halom. So we'll say again, now this new version takes into account that this pasuk of al tikrav halom is even more related to the notion of drive. Just like Hashem tells Moshe, don't come any closer. I'm telling the fever, don't come any closer. Go away. V'chi pasuk le, listisei v'lifsikei. So when the fever goes away, you should go back, and you should remove the thorn bush. But not just remove the thorn bush. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Listisei v'lifsikei, somuch l'karka. Now after the fever is gone, you should go back to that very thorn bush, and uproot it as close to the ground as you can. You don't have to dig up through it, but you should uproot it as close to the ground as you can. V'leima. And this is what you should say. V'leima haki. Hasna hasna. Thorn bush, thorn bush. Lav mishum. Digavias mikol eloni ashriya kodesh baruch hu shchinsei aloch. It's not because you are greater or taller than all of the other trees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested his Shechina on you. Elo mishum demayachas mikol iloni. Rather, it's because you are humbler. You are humbler than all of the other trees. Asher kutshabrichu ashchinte aloch. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested his Shechina on you. V'chi heiche dechamise ashosa lechananya mishal va'azaryo. V'arikas min kadmohi. And the same way that the fire, look at Rashi, Rebbe will say, Chamisa Ashosa Shero Isa Ha'ish. The same way that when the fire saw Chananya, Mishal, and Azaria, Va'arikas Min Kadmohi, it moved out of their way. Cain, Tachmine Ashosa Leploni Barplonis, Viti Oruk Min Kadmohi. So too the fire should see Ploni bar Ploni. That means insert your name here, right? So too the fire, the fever should see me and should go ahead and remove itself from within my path. Fine. The simta. For simta, what's simta? Look at Rashi. Shchin, boils. For boils, you should say the following. Lemahaki, baz, bazye, mas, masye, kas, kasye. So what does this mean? Look at Rashi. So Rashi, interestingly enough, actually, the Gemara breaks it up as individual words. Rashi sees them as what? Baz bezei, mas mesei, kas kesei. Rashi says, shemos hamalochim. These are names of angels. Names of angels. Hashem shekorim ume mas mesim ume kas mesim oso. That apparently these are angels of destruction, right? Or I should say, not, excuse me, not angels of destruction. Angels we'll see in just a moment who will be able to go out and take away the boils. So he says, sharloi amroloi Azlin Malki de Ishtalfu me arad de stone. So these are all names of angels that are sent from stone. Now he points out, Rashi points out, they're not literally from stone. Rashi says, me arad de stone, Rashi says, Kachu alochosh velom stone bow. This is how the incantation goes, or the recitation goes, but they're not literally from stone. Ula asa shchina kiven. And they come to heal painful boils. Bazach, bazich, Bazbezich, Masmesich, Kamon, Kamich, Einayich, Beich, Einayich, Beich. May your color remain as you are. That's now talking to the boils, right? Telling the boils, don't get any redder, right? Zarich, Kekalut, Keparda, Delo, Paravelo, Ravio. Your seed should be collected like a mule that does not have the ability to perpetuate. Kach lo tifra velo tirba begufa de ploni bar plonis. So too, you boils should not have the ability to reproduce on the body of ploni bar plonis. Lekifa. For kifa, look at Rashi. Look at Rashi, lekifa. Abubos. Abubos. So apparently, that simta is shchin, and kifa is even worse than shchin. Abubos. I don't know what the name for this type of even worse boils is. Blisters. Okay, blistering boils. So for kippah, now Basi Yalkos, that's why he calls it kippah, right? Because again, the boil almost forms like a dome, right? With pus on top of the skin, it's called the kippah. Le kippah le mahachi. This is what you should say for kippah. What should you say for kippah? Cherev shalufa. There is a sword that is withdrawn. Vikala netusha. Kala netusha means a slingshot that is ready to fire. Lo shmei Yochav, your name is not Yochav. Chulin machoven, sicknesses that debilitate. All right, so we'll say again. Remember, these don't really have to make sense. I mean, they have to make sense on some level. This is what the Marsha does. He tries to construct how each of these things means something deeper spiritually. But for our purposes, this was the recitation that they made. Lishida, if one is struggling with shedim. Right, so now we've gone from spiritual sickness, excuse me, from physical sickness, to how exactly a struggle with the shade manifests itself. Okay, I don't know. Leimahachi, this is what you should say. Havius, depokik, depokik havius. So look at Rashi. Leimahachi, lachash valmu, this is what you should say. Havius, depokik, depokis havius, lachashu. Pokik means stopped up. That which was stopped up should remain stopped up, which is another way of saying to the Shadim, stop bothering me. Later, you should be cursed. Tav umeshumas bartit bartome bartino. Excuse me. So these are all different things that you're saying to the Shadim, right? Lita, Tavi should be broken, Mishumas, you should be killed, Bartit, Bartame, the right, you are the son of Tit, the son of Tame, Bartino, Kishamgas, Merigas, Vistamoi. Alright, these are all the different incantations that you're saying. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rashi says, Layit Tavar Mishumas Mikula. You should be cursed. Nishpar, you should be broken. Mishumas Yehe Shade Zeshmo Bartit Bartina. These are the names of the Shadim. Okay. The Shida de Besakise. What happens if you are struggling with the shade of the bathroom? Rashi says, "Imhizik lemalachashta." This is if you are harmed. So we already saw in the second brachas that shadim tended to hang out by the Beis Hakiseh. Why? Because apparently shadim are often found in places that are desolate. People tended to put outhouses not the Nuas. If you remember, you know, both sides. The Gemara said that, I don't remember the positive, the Gemara said, I think it was Brachas, not Shabbos. Something was like Ashrei Ha'ish, something, who's the person who's praiseworthy? So the Gemara says, Zeh Ha'ish Sheish La Beis HaKis Hayat Shulchano. Right? Having a bathroom in close proximity to your house is a big thing. So apparently, bad houses were normally placed on the periphery. So they were shaded in there. So the Gemara says, what should you say if you got struck by a Sheish La Beis HaKis? You should say, Akarkafi Da'ari. Da'ari. Rashi says, "Akarkafi da'ari birosh hari zachar," on the head of a male lion, va'use de guryosa, and literally Rashi says, "Va'use de guryosa ubechotem levia kitan kinekeva," and in the nostril of a female lioness, ashkachsun lishidoi bar shirike panda. Right? Okay. I just write Lishidai Bashriki Panda. These are all the Rashi points out over here. Ashkachta Lishidai Bashriki Panda. Kachshmo. These are the names of the. This is the name. It's interesting. Panda. This is Oriental shade. I don't know. It's. So, on the Bashriki Panda. Bemishra de Karse Chavta Belua de Chamra Chachrase. So, literally translated. Bemishra de Karse Chavte. In a field of leek. I felled the shade. Belua de chamra chatrase. Rashi says over here. Belua de chamra chatrase. Belechi hachamor hilaktiv. With the jawbone of a donkey, I struck it down. Okay. So we'll say, thus concludes the sugya of the lachoshen. B'nei malachim bizogin. So the Mishnah said a little bit of halacha. The Mishnah said that, it's actually a very interesting thing in the Rebbe's time. The Mishnah said that b'nei malachim, royalty, can go ahead and go out with bells, these ornamental bells, on Shabbos. So if you remember again, the Mishnah actually said the following. The Mishnah said, sorry, I'm going too fast. The Mishnah said, V'chol Adam, the truth is anybody could go out with the bells, Ela Shedibru Chacham Behoveh. But the Chacham spoke in the most normative fashion, meaning who was normally going out with the bells? It was the B'nai Malachim, it wasn't the common man. So look what the Gemara is, quite fascinating. Man Tana, so who is the Tana that says that anyone could go out with a bell? Amar Raboshia, Rabbi Shimoni, the Amar Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim. Such a beautiful Gemara, right? All Jews are royalty. So all Jews are royalty, everyone could go, every Jew can go out with the bells. Rava Amar Rava says, no, that's not the pshat. That's a very nice idea, but that's not halacha. Rava says, Be'orig b'ksuso b'divrei hakol. What are we talking about? We're talking about ornamental bells that were sewn onto the clothing. So remember, Rabbi said, anything that's sewn onto your clothing, by definition, what? Rashi says, Delo shalaf le'umachbi. The concern with the ornamental bells would have been that you would have taken it off and shown it to your friend. Once it's sewn onto your clothing, that fear is removed. It, in essence, becomes like a part of your actual clothing itself, and therefore, in Akinami, anyone who has it sewn onto their clothing could go out with it. Mishnah. Yotzin bebeitzas hachargol ubeshein shul. So Rabbi said, now the Gemara is going to go on and discuss are other things that you can go out with on Shabbos. So you can go out, Beitas HaChargul is a locust egg. Now we'll discuss why a person would be wearing a locust egg in just a little bit. Shein Shual is the tooth of a fox. Ub Misamer Min HaTzolov. Misamer Min HaTzolov is a nail from the gallows. And all of these things, Mishum Rufua Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that a person, these things were used for refuah purposes. These things were used for medicinal healing. And therefore you can go out and go out with it on Shabbos. So, b'chachamim osrim. The chachamim say it's osr, but amazingly enough, af b'chol. It's not just osr on Shabbos, it's osr even during the week. Why? Mishum darkei amori. Because that is what we actually spoke about this on Thanksgiving Day in our shir. The darkei amori represents practices that were Gentile in nature. Now again, there's a discussion as to why exactly Rashi says darkei amori nichushu. See, here Rashi points out that the issue over here is that it smelled of divination. Right? There's two pieces to darkei amori. There's darkei amori of just general emulation of Gentile practices. But here the Chachamim seem to feel that this is more than just simple Gentile emulation. This has to do with that these practices were rooted in perhaps some type of idolatrous roots. Right? That she says, Nechoshu, Rashi says, Uksiv ubechukoseyem lo selechu. And the Torah says, do not walk in their ways, which specifically refers to practices that are rooted in some type of idolatrous or divination-like activity. Says the Gemara. Yotzin bebeis hazachar. But yotzin bebeis hazachar gu. So a person would go out with a locus. Then, so why exactly is it that a person is going out with a locust egg? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, what's the place? The of the l'shichla. Because a person would use it for shichla. Rashi says, what's shichla? L'ke'ev ha'ozin v'tolin ba'ozno. They would actually put the locust egg in the ear, and apparently it was felt to be medicinally therapeutic for earaches. To earaches, ke'ev ha'ozen. Or v'shein shal shual. Why would you go out with a fox's tooth? The avide l'shinta. Right, the avide l'shinta, because they used it for sleep remedies. Now, interestingly enough, the shein shel shual helped with sleep in one of two ways. The chaya leman denayim, if a person had a problem with drowsiness, right, the person was always falling asleep, then the fox's tooth apparently would help you stay awake, but it had to be the tooth of what? Of a living fox. And the misa leman delonayim, and apparently the tooth of a dead fox, that was helpful for one who had insomnia issues. That would put you to sleep. Okay, fine.
We got plenty of foxes.
That's the truth. Right. I know we have a big one. We have a big market for the tooth of the live fox. I think staying away. And for the nails from the gallows, the avidi lezirfa. They used it to take down swelling. All right, Rashi says, "Nafach maka." If one's wound swelled up, so Rashi says, "Parzel azorif v'hai maskel azirfa." What's interesting about this is the following: the fact that we find the use of iron as a way of taking down swelling, we find a number of different times. Why it was dafka the nail of the gallows? So that the Gemara doesn't tell us, which is probably why the Chachamim felt that it was usher because of Darke Amori, right? Anytime you have these things that you can't exactly explain why, again, just tell me metal of the gallows, what different? Okay, so Mishum Rafot de Rameir. So Rabbi Meir said that all of these things are permitted. You could go out with it on Shabbos. Why? Because they're all used for refuah. Now remember, for our purposes, for Shabbos, the reason why that's important is because if anything that's used for refuah, the assumption is that one is not going to go ahead and remove it on Shabbos. I'm not going to take the locust egg out of my ear because I want it there, bless you. I want it there to remain in my ear for medicinal purposes. So I'm not going to take the fox's tooth off because I don't want to fall asleep. But whatever the case is, if it's for refuah, the assumption is you leave it on your person. So the Gemara says the following. Abai Rav said, both said the following yisod. Kol davar sheyesh bo mishum refuah, ein bo mishum darkei ha'amori. So they held anything that is used for medicinal purposes is not usher because of darkei amori. Not usher because of darkei amori. So the Gemara says, ha, ein bo mishum refuah, yesh bo mishum darkei amori. What do we learn from here? That apparently anything that does not have some type of medicinal purpose, in fact, it is usher because of darkei amori. So the Gemara says the following. Now, also, I want to point out over here, interesting enough, the Rambam points out that this idea of refuah, the Rambam, and actually interesting, very interesting, coming from the Rambam. The Rambam says that even if we don't know exactly why it provides refuah, but everybody believes it provides refuah, the Rambam holds it's not usher, which is quite dramatic for the Rambam to do that. So he takes the statement of Abai and Rava, and it calls anything that has Mishum Refuah, Inva Mishum Darkei Mori, even if we can't rationally explain why it works, people believe why it works. But if it doesn't have medicinal purposes, and people just do it, it has Darkei Mori issues. So Gemara says, really, is that true? Vahatanyo, Ilan Shemesher Perosav. If you have a situation of a tree, Shemesher Perosav. Meshe Perosav means that it is going ahead and it's letting its fruit off the branch too early. Meshe Perosav means it is like discharging its fruit prematurely. So the Gemara says, what do you do for this? Sarko v'tsovea oso v'sikra v'tono ba'avonim. So what do? You paint the tree red. The tono ba'avonim. Tono ba'avonim means you tie stones onto the branches. So the Gemara says, Bishlama tono ba'avonim ki hecho delechu shchele. So I understand why you're tying stones to the branches. Why? Because you want to sap the branches of some of their strength. Meaning there was this conventional wisdom that if the tree is going ahead and discharging its fruit too soon, then in essence what's happening? It has too much vitality. So by tying stones to the branches, you're trying to sap some of the vitality from the tree. Okay, I understand that. But why are you painting the tree red? Right? Painting the tree red would seem to smack a little bit of darkei mori. Because it was very interesting. No. You know why he painted red? Because he wants other people to notice this tree. Why do you want them to notice the tree? In order that people would daven for me, the owner of the tree. Right? People will see I have a problematic tree. Right, I have a problematic tree. I'm painting it red. It's making it noticeable. People will daven that Silver's tree should produce fruit normally. Kedisanyo, as the Brisa says, v'tamei tamei yikra, right, by the Mitzora. Right, so the Torah says that the Mitzora goes ahead and walks around and he keeps calling out tamei tamei. Right, he keeps calling out tamei to anybody who passes by. So the Gemara says, why is that? Sarich lehodio tsaro l'rabin. Because I will say, if I'm suffering, it's a good idea to let the general public know. Now again, interesting that Rashi points out over here that Tamei Tamei Yikra, the real reason he does it is because in order that people should realize that he's Tamei and keep a distance from him. The Gemara says there's a side benefit, which is that people will also know that I'm suffering in order that what? The Rabim Yivakshu Alav Rachamim, and therefore the general public will ask Rachamim for me. Right? They'll go ahead and they'll daven on my behalf. Amar Avina, Kiman Talinon Kufsi Bidiklo. For according to whose approach do we go ahead? Kufsi Rashi says Rabosai. Kufsi is Eshkol Tamarim, V'Simin Hu Shemesher Peirosav. So apparently, if you had a date palm that was discharging its dates too early, you would hang a cluster of dates on that tree. So why do we do that? Ki Haytana Tani Tana Beperak Amoray Kamed Rav Chibar Avin. Amrale, kulhu ispa. Excuse me, I read that wrong. So the Gemara says, Amravina kiman talina kufsa bedikli ki hay tano, like this tano, right? What do you mean, like this tano? Like this tano that we just saw, who said that you paint the tree red, right? Then you hang the stones in the tree. That hanging the cluster of dates on the tree was a simon that this tree is producing its dates too early. So other people see it and they'll be able to daven on my behalf for my tree. Tana ki hay tano. Tani Tana Beperak Amoroi Kamed Rav Chibar Avin. Amarle, Kulu Isbohu Mishum Darche Amori Levar Mehani. So they taught this following Braisa, right, before Rav Chibar Avin, and they said all of these practices are also because of Darche Amori, except for these. What are these? Nishi Yeshlo Etzem Begrono. If somebody has a bone stuck in his throat, so what happens? Mevi Meosa Hamin. He brings from that same species. Meaning, so let's say I have a meat bone. So I bring from some meat, right? Umaniach le al kadkado, and I put it on top of my head, right? Velema hachi, and this is what I should say: chad chad nochis, bala bala nochis. Right. So what should I say? So look at Rashi. Chad chad nochis. Lochishu. Alright, so Rashi tells us this is one of these incantations. So we have not fully gotten past it, right? So chad chad nochis, this one, go down. Bala bala nochis, be swallowed, go down. Chad chad in bomishum darki amori. And we see from here that what? Chad chad doesn't have any issue of darki amori. La adra le mahachi. If a person has adra, what's adra? Rashi says, etzem shel dog shiyashav la'adam beveshet. If I have a fishbone, that stuck veshet is the windpipe, right? I have fishbone stuck in my throat, so what should I do? So you should say, this is what you should say, nin atzta kimachat. You have lodged yourself, right, in my throat, like a machat, like a needle. You are embedded like a needle. Nin alta kitris. You are closed up in my throat like a tris. A tris is a shutter. Shaya, shaya. Rashi says, shaya, shaya, lachashu, raid, raid. Shaya means go down, go down. Okay? And apparently none of these things are also because of darkei amori. Ha'omer, gad gidi. Gad gidi. Okay, so someone who says gad gidi. Now what's the pshat with gad gidi? Rashi says, his mazel mazli. So Gad Gidi means my mazel should bring me good mazel. v'sonuk lo. Right? It's interesting enough. V'sonuk lo, Rashi says, sonuk lo. So, ayef al tihi, it should not be tired. Ashbi ubushchi. Rashi says, ashbi ubushchi, yom valayla, yesh bo mishum darki emori. So if you say these things, there's an issue of darki emori. All right. Rabbi Huda Omer, God eino ela lashna avodah zarah. Rabbi Huda says, if you do this, our darki emori is not your problem. In fact, avodah zarah is your problem. He wants to say that the lashon of God gedi, my mazel should bring me incredible mazel, is lashon of avodah zarah. Shene emar, because he quotes the pasuk over here from Yeshaya. The pasuk says, ha'orchim legad shulchan. They prepare a table for God. So over here, the Navi is clearly telling us that, well, at least this pasuk is telling us that God was an avodah zarah. Hu bishmo v'hi bishmo. So we'll say it's actually very interesting also. So apparently some had the practice that come nightfall, husband and wife would exchange names. She would be known by his name, he would be known by her name. So the Gemara says, yesh bo mishum darchei ha'amori. There's a prohibition of darchei ha'amori. Donu doni, yesh bo mishum darchei ha'amori. What's donu doni? Rashi says, his chasku chev yosi. If a person says, literally he's talking to his wine barrels, my wine should be good, my wine should be good. Don donu, yesh bo mishum darchei ha'amori. This smacks of the practice of darchei ha'amori. Okay, the Gemara Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain don el lashav odzara. Forget about Darchei Emori. There's an issue over here about Dar Shne Emar. He quotes over here the pasuk from Amos. Hanishboim ba'ashmas shomron. Hanishboim ba'ashmas shomron. Va'amru chei elohecha don. So you see again, they called him avodzara don el lashav odzara. Fine. So the Gemara says Ha'omer lo orev tzrach ula arvarta shriki. If a person says to a raven, tzrach, now tzrach means croak, right? Croak, tells the raven, croak. That's how apparently they didn't call it. I guess a raven doesn't chirp, and it croaks, right? So if someone says to the raven, croak, ula avarta, and to a female raven, shriek out, it's interesting, shrieky means to shriek, V'hachziri li znavech litova, and return to me your tail, hachziri li znavech, return your tail for good tidings for me. Yeshua mishum darchei ha'amori. That's darchei ha'amori. Ha'omer shachatu tarnagol zeh shekara aravis, sugok aravis, go ahead and shecht this rooster that was called a female crow, a female raven. The tarnagolas shekara gavris, or that called out like a crow, I should say, that shrieked like a crow, or tarnagolas, or a female rooster, shekara gavris, that was called a gavris, yesh bo mishum darchei ha'amori. All of these things are also because of darchei ha'amori. Okay? So we'll say, again, the point where the Gemara is listening is all of these practices that people did that had no spiritual undertone to it. And essentially, if it has no spiritual undertone to it, there's only one understanding of it, which is that it's darchei ha'amori. Eshta va'osir. If a person says to his guest, drink, and there should be left over. Yesh bo mishum darchei ha'amori. That's usher because of darchei ha'amori. Rashi says over here, eshta va'osir, so this was a blessing that you should drink and it should be left over. So apparently the Gemara still felt that that's also because of Darchei Emori. Hamavakas beitzim vakosel bifnei afrochim. If one crushes eggs, really eggshells, against the wall in front of chicks, this apparently was supposed to, the chicks would hatch, and you would take the eggs and crack the eggshells against the wall. This was supposed to be good luck. Yeshua mishun darchei ha'amori. This is also because of darchei ha'amori. But you should just know also, the other piece is that one of the things that makes something darchei ha'amori, the Rishonim bring down, is any practice that doesn't have any kind of logical explanation to it, by definition becomes, even if it's a stretch, by definition becomes darchei ha'amori. V'hamagis b'fnei afrochim, or if one stirs, I guess this would seem to be stirring a pot of some sort in front of chicks, right, as a good omen. Yeshua mishum darchei ha'amori. Fine. Hamirakedes Vahamone Shivim Ve'echod Efrochin Bishvil Shelo Yamusu Yeshva Mishum Darche Emori. If someone was Mirakedes, literally is dancing. If someone was dancing while they were counting 71 chicks as a way of giving good omen that they should not die, Yeshva Mishum Darche Emori. Ultimately, this practice is also because of Darche Emori, Gentile practices. Listen to this. Hamirakedes lekusach. If you danced while you were, if a woman danced while she was making kusach. Now I remember Rav Osei, look at Rashi. Hamirakedes lekusach. Kesha ose kusach, while she's making kusach. Remember we spoke about kusach. Kusach is this interesting dish that's made out of moldy bread and curdled milk. It was a dip. So if she was dancing while she was making kusach, now why would someone be dancing while she was making kusach? Rashi says, "Kisha osek kusach mirakedes lafanav behu nechoshi is chazek." So apparently this was done like as a good omen that the kusach should be stronger. Right? So you dance in front of the kusach in order to make the kusach stronger. So the Gemara says, "Mirakedes kusach v'hamishasekes la'adashim." Or if one, while they're cooking adoshim are lentils, if one tells everyone to be quiet while the lentils are cooking, because if you're quiet while the lentils are cooking, again, that's a better, it works better, the lentils cook better. Or hamitzabachas lo grisim. Or if one shouts while they're going ahead and cooking beans. So apparently it was superstitious practice that people thought beans, you know, lentils cook better while it was quiet, or and beans cook better while you made noise. Yesh b'mishum darche emori. All of these things are awesome because of darche emori. Hamishasenes bifnei kidei rasa kidei shetisbashel mehera. If somebody urinates right in front of the pot in order that the pot should cook faster. There might be other hygiene issues as well, aside from Darche Emori. But okay, you can't do it because of Darche Emori. However, aval nosnin kisam shel tut, v'shivrei zechuches begder. This is very interesting, but what can you do? You could put mulberry wood or pieces of glass into the pot itself. What's interesting over here is you'd be putting not to fuel the fire. They're literally talking about putting it in the pot of food itself to accelerate the cooking process. The Chachamim say you can't use glass shards. Right? So that's all right, word to the wise. If there's a take home message for today, don't put glass shards in the chalim. Good. Tan Rabbanon. Nosnin bul shalmelach lesochaner. You could put a fistful of salt into the ner in order that it will illuminate and remain lit. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Bul shal melach, mole egrof melach." You could take a fistful of salt. Bishul shetoyer v'tadlik she'in zenichush. This is not any kind of sorcery. Ela misayeya mamish shamelach tzolal as hashemen v'mashik achar psul. It's interesting. So apparently, if people wanted their oil to burn longer, putting salt into the olive oil thins out the oil. By thinning out the oil, apparently it allows the oil to last longer. Okay, so the Gemara just says, that's actually, you prove it, that's not nechush. Or, tit v'charosis tachas aner, or you could put mud or clay underneath aner, bishvil shetamtin v'tadlik. In order, again, Rashi says, tit v'charosis, mitsaninin es hashemen ve'eno dolik mayer. So apparently, the mud and the clay cool down the earthenware nair, and therefore because it lowers the temperature, the oil does not burn as quickly. So Gemara is pointing out that again, these are issues that are not usher because of Darche Emori. Amar Rav Zutra, Hay man demichsi shraga, demishcha, umigli nafta, ka'aver mishum bak hashchis. Look at Rashi. Demichsi shraga demah. Sha'oselo kisu. So this is interesting. So someone who goes ahead, the Gemara says, someone who goes ahead and mixi shraga de mishcha, you cover an oil nair, or you uncover a naft nair, which causes the heat source, the oil or the naft, to burn faster, you're over on Baal Tashchis. Because causing accelerated burning of oil, when it's not necessary, is considered to be Baal Tashchis. Chamra v'chaye lefum rabbanon. Ain bo mishum darche emor. So also the parak ends off in a beautiful way. if a person makes the following statement, the following bracha, chaye life lefum rabbanon, excuse me, chamra v'chaye lefum rabbanon. There should be, right, Rashi says, chamra v'chaye, kishemozgin v'nosnim kos, omer king lebracha le'alma. This is how people used to make a lechaim. When they would pour a cup of wine, right, they would make the following bracha, wine and life in the mouths of the rabbis. Ein bom yishom darchi emori. There's no darchi emori to that. Gemara says, that's just a good old lechaim. That's just a good old lechaim. Nothing wrong with that statement. Right, saying a lechaim. Right, so the Gemara says, Maisa b'Rabbi Akiva, sha'asa mishnah lebno. Rabbi Akiva made a party for his son, a mishten. Now, mishten normally means a wedding party. That's normally what it means, but it could, doesn't have to mean it. So he made a mishten for his son. Va'al kol kos v'kos, shehevi, and on every cup that they drank, that they made a lechaim. And they said, Amra, chamra v'chaye lepum rabbanon. Lechaim, there should be wine and life in the mouths of the rabbis. Chaya v'chamra lepum rabbanon ulepum tamidehem. There should be wine, and there should be life, or life and wine, in the mouths of the rabbis, and in the mouths of all of their tamidim. Hadrin alach b'mar isha. Shkarech v'sayim. All right, Yemir Hashem, tomorrow morning, Tzchemeka, we're going to make a new Ischashus to learn Shtark, Yemir Hashem. We see us Sharm, 5:45 in the morning, followed by Daf Yomi at 6 o'clock. Again, if anybody needs two more Mishas Sharm, you can see David, you could see me for the Sharm, but make sure to pay David Ehrenfeld, the Shkoach, the David, to take care of it. And yes, tomorrow morning, 5:45.